The blood washed away, but the guilt never does. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring psychotherapist and author Siobhan Scott.
Well, Brian Koberger and his attorney, Ann Taylor, had a win in court just this last week. The change of venue request has been granted. The trial will not be taking place in Moscow, Idaho. And there's going to be a new judge as well. As of this recording, they have not announced where the new venue is going to be. Likely Boise, but we don't know that for sure. And there will be a new judge as well. Joining me to discuss, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. Let's talk about the role of a judge in a case like this. Obviously, Judge John Judge has been overseeing this now for the last 2 years. Ultimately, it's going to be up to a jury to decide what goes on. But how does this affect a case where suddenly we're going to have a new judge, we're going to have a new venue? Does it really matter at the end of the day in terms of justice being served if we have a new judge midway through this?
I imagine that you'll have a very competent judge appointed to the case. And in all fairness, being in a larger community, I believe the population of Boise is about 500,000. I mean, you're more apt to have people who have not themselves been living in fear of, you know, a mass killer in their community. So I'm hopeful. I'm sorry that it's hard on the families. I do feel badly about that. And also that they have to wait until June 2025 to get some kind of sense of what's going to happen here.
It's an interesting one to think about because there's a lot of factors that play into this. Obviously, the last thing anybody wants is for this to take longer than it has to. And if it were to take place there in Moscow, there's a good chance that they have a very good argument already for a retrial on appeal, just because they can use the argument that it's a skewed jury pool. Yeah. And it's true. I mean, it is what it is. Ann Taylor, you know, she certainly did her job. She went above and beyond and asked for forgiveness after the fact when she started doing that survey. And then the judge allowed it to continue. And clearly it worked. It allowed for them to do this. But then you have to look at the other page of this, the family that is suffering, all the families that are suffering, they're going to have to make a trek for several weeks of their life, if not months of their life, if they want to, in fact, be in court for the trial of the person that allegedly killed their child, which is going to be difficult, I'm sure, for any of them. And then it goes to the question of, is that fair? Is that fair to the community that suffered so much with this tragic event and to those families to make it so inconvenient and make it so difficult for them to, in fact, be able to attend this trial?
Yeah, I think in this kind of a messy case, this messy situation, it's probably the best that can be done, but it's just unfortunate. Is it technically fair? No, you know, but you don't want to lose, you don't want to get a conviction and then lose it on appeal. That would certainly be worse.
Sure. Let me just get your thoughts on this, because obviously we haven't heard from Koberger. He's always very, very quiet, very just kind of astute when he's going into the hearings and all that. Doesn't really emote a whole lot as well. What do you think is going through his mind right now as this trial date draws nearer? I mean, we're roughly about 7-8 months away from it at this point.
He looks very alert, very calculating. He's paying attention. To me, even though I'm sure he's trying to keep his affect and emotion neutral, it's almost bizarrely neutral. You know, I try to put myself, very difficult to put myself in his position, but I do try. I think I would be showing at least more distress than he shows. And, you know, I think we can all look at the evidence that we're aware of at this point and have a pretty good sense, in all honesty, that he is guilty here. I think most people feel that way. You know, does he think he's narcissistic enough, as many times serial killers do, that he's going to get out of it? And is that a part of what we're seeing here when he doesn't really look distressed, because he may think that he's going to beat the system here?
It makes me wonder if he's enjoying the system here. I mean, that was the whole thing to begin with. When everybody's like, what's the motive? Why is he doing this? I don't know if he just did this for sport, where it was, I want to get this in my mind. I'm sure he didn't want to be caught, but right. My thought on it is he did this because he wanted to experience what it's like, because then in his thought, he could use that in his future career in law enforcement or whatever he was going to go into to make himself that much better at it. I mean, very just, you know, mechanical thinking, non-human type thinking of, I'm going to get, it's like input, like just getting this data in, and then this is, it doesn't matter what anyone feels because they're not, you know, they're not real. The world is about him. And I'm wondering if it's still kind of that same way of thinking as he's now experiencing what it's like to go through the legal system this way.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a real game playing thing that goes on with serial killers where, you know, that's why some of them want to be their own attorney. It's like they think they're smart enough to get out of it. Mm-hmm. And this gives me that feeling, you know, he is an intelligent guy. Is this all, a horrendous game in his mind?
Yeah. And it makes you wonder, had he not been caught, would he have continued, or would this be done of like, okay, I got it in my out of my system, or I now have this knowledge gained. Would I keep going? He's just a weird one.
Typically, once they act out like this, it becomes an obsession, and it becomes almost like an addiction. And that's why we see people like Bundy and Green River Killer and Golden State Killer in California. It's like they repeat, they repeat, they repeat, and they're playing out a scenario in their mind, and they keep wanting to get it perfect. You know, each time it's a challenge, and they like seeing the press. They like feeling like they're outwitting everybody. And it's a big game of look what I can do and get away with.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in, and then wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today, Premium Plus, on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today, Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today, Premium Plus, on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and savor every twisted detail without interruption.